Hi, and welcome back to the Agent Effect podcast. I'm your host, Paul Jarrett, and I'm here with Adam Chaya and Babak Hodjat for the second part of our discussion about the evolution of agents. But listen, we want to, like, talking about this from a kind of a business perspective. If I'm an enterprise and I'm now looking to kind of agentify my business in some way to break down some of these internal silos that we're seeing pop up, when you're deploying AI in a certain realm of your business, like what would you say are some of the kind of the key design principles that businesses should think about when thinking about that process?
So very important to think about their businesses as multi-agentic. I think that's a big important start. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a retailer and somebody calls in and they have to return something that they bought, and they bought it from the brick and mortar. They have to return it online, and then they want to buy a new one. Right there, they're hitting like three different departments, like the returns, the whatever upsell. Maybe we could sell them something else, and then there's this shopping as well, right? And so, in today's world, even with a human-driven, support line, we have problems. Like, there's one department that does this, and then they have to put you on hold or give you another number to call or point you at the website to go there and so forth. So just imagine if you have those different functions represented by agents that on your behalf can collaborate and talk to each other and come up with one consolidated, useful response that saves your time, breaks the silos in the organization, also helps the organization upsell some new stuff maybe that you might need. So just a tiny little example of how to think about the various different what we can get from these agentic systems. Implied in what I described was the understanding of natural language, that is not just on the interface and the production of natural language, which is the consolidation, but it's also the reasoning that allows these agents to talk to each other or make calls to various different APIs within that organization in order to look up whether we have a different size for the pair of jeans that you want to buy, or that sort of thing. So that's kind of implied. It's kind of taken for granted, but what these agents can do very well. So just at a high level, but that was just on the mainly that like the example I used was on a support call. You could think of it as we are doing this within Cognizant for our intranet. So employees using various different apps like finance or legal or whatever else it is that are now represented by agents and work together to help you. The example I use a lot is like I'm getting married, what do I need to do in the system? That might have like legal implications, payroll implications, immigration implications. By the way, did you know that you can take 10 days off if you're getting married,
To
bereavement
know
time.
which agent to talk to,
when, and what if those agents need to talk to each other to be able to help you? So I think that interoperability again is brokered through these multi-agentic relationships. I don't know if you have any examples of that.
I think it's very, very interesting. One thing is, once you start to have multiple agents, especially if they're developed from different sources and
Sourced.
enterprises, the question is, what language do they use to communicate? And obviously, now that these systems can understand natural language,
Exactly right.
it's somewhat of a holy grail to be able to express things pretty freely, right? There's no hardwired command languages or API exact. But on the other hand, sometimes natural language is not always the best representation. When you have a structured table of all those shoes that you want to purchase or what have you, I wouldn't tell you in language here, let me tell you every shoe in the store. And because you're not going to remember it, it's kind of it's not compact. So understanding the right way to get structure and unstructured, more natural language together in a communication protocol, I think is a really interesting challenge.
And what are the challenges that we're faced?
Do agents need training frameworks, do you think, like to such as like work graphs? I don't know if you've heard about this, mapping of relationships between people, tasks, and tools and content to be more effective within an organization, or can you just infer that training on them some way? shape or form.
Training, well, I mean, these models don't learn. Like, you're using large language models. They're pre-trained unless you collect data on the interactions that the agents have had, then label them and then do some fine-tuning. But if what you mean is training them as in identifying the processes within your organization that they will represent, I think there is, when you think about robotic process automation, there is a whole field around capturing processes, and now people are calling them agentic process automation. So some of those nodes within this rather rigid process could be agents. You could do that. I always think that kind of defeats the purpose a little bit. You're imposing a lot of rigidity over something that could spontaneously kind of, organize and respond
Evolve.
back to you. So while for certain processes you may be forced to do that, I often kind of want us to second guess whether or not we actually need to do it, or that's in place because it was a human-driven, rigid kind of like process in the first place.
Well, talk a little bit about, how should businesses, I mean, we talked about robotic process automation. So how do you think businesses should think about transitioning from that traditional, way of working to agents? Like, and should they, or should it be a combination of both? Are they?
Yeah, no, I think you can do this incrementally. This is my opinion that we can actually, in fact, like RPA, like we can build on pre-existing processes or even organizations. Like look at how your organization manually is operating right now, and you can augment those manual nodes with agents and have them connected. It does depend on what functionality we expect from each node in there, and if it's too complex, then it's more augmentative and the human has a bigger role. But I think there's certain elements that can be autonomous, automated. But that's a good starting point. Doesn't mean that that's the ideal way to build your multi-agentic system. It may be that you, after you set it up that way, that you can actually optimize it even more. Well, last thing I'm going to say here is it is an incremental process. You don't have to go off and just knock everything out of your organization and say everything's going to be agentic like overnight. That's too disruptive and it's risky. And but you could start off where you think you can benefit the most and build out and have a process for empowering your employees to come up with their own agents, and a process for all the gates that that agent needs to pass and all the tests that needs to happen and maybe sandboxing, whatever else it is, before you allow it to be plugged into the larger multi-agentic system and become discoverable. So I think that's one thing that I think it pays to think upfront how you would do that. But once you have that set up, then you can gradually incorporate agents in what you do.
So I guess one of the questions that the listeners might be thinking about is like, where are we seeing the most success with agents right now? Like, which businesses, processes, are seeing returns on this? Like, can you talk to some of that, either of you?
Well, one area is just on. I refer to coding the practice. So separately, I mean, most enterprises will have software coders, and going all in on coding with support from AI has shown to have great return on investment. And there's debates, is it 15% improvement or 40% improvement? But either way, that's a lot. And I think it does start to compound when you get teams working together in similar ways. They will all be able to start to automate their processes from specification, architecture, communication, and actual coding. So I think that's somewhat of a no-brainer. Like if you're not having your developers work with AI as support, you're
Missing
missing
something.
out. So that's one area. Obviously, customer support is kind of a low-hanging fruit in enterprises. I mean, there's a clear value proposition of, boy, if we could have less calls going to humans, while not having to give users the horrible phone tree style navigation of, you can do A, B, C, D, or E. Would you like to say this now? And she's like, ah, everyone hates those. If you could have a more natural interaction where you describe your precise problem and can actually do something on an automated way, or at least steer you to just the right department and summarize everything for that human operator to do, that's also a great return on investment. And pretty much everywhere in the organization. I mean, marketing examples, I've seen companies have autonomous agentic solutions where they go out and scrape their own most popular tweets, best responding tweets, and generate new ones in like continually,
Oh,
or
interesting,
optimize SEO kinds of things. So this is literally a process that they set up when they go to a meeting, have automatic summarization of not only what happened in the meetings, but what are the next steps and what are opportunities that you might have not have been discussed in the meeting. You
wow.
know, as brainstorming tools, I love using multi-agent solutions where you bring agents in and give them different expertise areas. So, as you said, you can prompt and say, you are a marketeer. This other one, you are an engineer, you are an architect. And you bring them into a meeting with multiple humans and see what these automated systems have to say, have to suggest, have to critique. And that allows you to have relatively small human meetings, but still get perspectives, a very wide set of perspectives. What would a designer have said? What would an engineering manager have said if you don't have one? So I think there's an innumerable potential for uses of AI, and those are some of the best ones I've seen so far.
I think within Cognizant, we've been using it. Obviously, I mentioned the internet. We've been using it for our RFP process, and it's wildly popular within Cognizant because it's just the throughput and the quality of the RFPs that we respond to is just night and day since we introduced multi-agentic systems.
How does that work? Can you talk a little bit into more
So an
detail?
RFP comes in. This is a request for proposals that comes in. It's usually a very long document with a lot of questions that need to be answered. I mean, the first question is whether or not we even want to respond to this RFP. And so even there, using an agent that reviews the RFP, looks at what we've responded to before, knows what we're good at and what we typically, pass on. Is really, really important. I mean, the decision ultimately is made by a human, but that processing and getting it to this, here's a summary recommendation, is a big step, all the way to, what are the other RFPs that are similar to this one that we've responded before? What are the projects that we've ran that are similar and, experiences? It goes all the way to the response itself, like drafting the answers to the various different questions. Yeah, that's just one example. Another example is on our hiring process, we get tons and tons of inbound resumes. And unfortunately, it's the inbound is so huge that we don't have a chance to actually review these resumes that come in. So it comes down to, up until recently, it was like keyword spotting, which is really, you're not really giving it a fair shot. Like someone may have not had the skills to put a good resume together, like especially for technologists, maybe they're not very good at writing down in a resume, formatting it well, or being articulate about it, but they're a really, really good engineer. They're lost in the shuffle. You'll never view them. So just imagine having that funnel of inbound resumes being reviewed by these AI agents first, so that you can get very quickly to the ones that are more interesting. In fact, also give them many more of them the opportunity to interview. And even that interview might be augmented using an AI agent that, by the way, can code. So, if part of that job
Good coding,
description has to do with coding, this thing can actually assess that as well and kind of try to map between the job description and your resume through that interview and try to see whether and where the gaps are and whether or not they could be filled. And it, so that's one other area. But there's so many, like the brainstorming thing is just amazing. Like, just being able to view something from many different perspectives. It's something that these large language models and these agents do very, very well. And for us, we usually have a certain thread of experience that we bring to the table. And yeah, maybe we're really good and an expert in that, but it's kind of narrower than it should be. So yeah, definitely helps.
So what do you think businesses are going to look like 5 to 10 years from now? It feels like we just hit this like inflection point where like agents are really taking off. Where do you think are the like two or three use cases that you could see really coming to fruition, or seeing businesses take agents to places they haven't taken them before? Like, do you have a sense of where it might be going with agents?
I'll talk a little bit about, so we've talked a lot about how agents are good. I'll talk about a few things that I'm still waiting and missing from, so that may be coming in the future. First of all, most agent solutions we see are very text-based, and that makes sense because they're great with language, right? But a chat interface is not the ideal experience for most interactions. It's great for customer support because in customer support, you're going to be texting to a human already. So it's a very natural fit. But there's a reason why most websites and most apps in the world do not have a text chat interface. It's a graphical interface. So one area I would like to see agents improve is the way that they can supplement and augment graphical interfaces. So you can be clicking and driving. Graphical interfaces are familiar, they're useful, but language is great too. How do you marry the two seamlessly? So that's one area. Second area is I talk about agents being great at knowing today. You can ask lots of questions and it can summarize or even pull data, but trust around doing is still there. Like, can I trust this thing to actually be taking action on my behalf? I think there's still work to be done there. And the last I'll call out is this continued componentization or multi-agentization of our enterprises and then ultimately across enterprises, I think will continue. Today, it's not standard to integrate my agent with your agent. But we will get there, I think, in a future for your partnerships. There are reasons why information should flow across different, not only business units, but company boundaries. And that's another area where I think the future is coming. And when you add those three together and you say, what are businesses look like or business interfaces, experiences, I think you start to get a slightly different picture than what we have today.
That's right. I mean, all of what Adam said, actually building on his last point, I think we will also get to a point where you have non-aligned agents talking to each other, and just coming up with that protocol and the trust aspect of that is also very, very interesting. Just imagine, like Adam, you're working at Airbnb, and I'm sure, although maybe it's a secret, I don't know, but I'm sure you're working in some agentic systems there. But just imagine that your agentic system facing, like being used by consumers is also potentially being used by other agents, right? And or in other settings where we put an agent out assuming that it's going to be used by humans, but there's nothing that says that another agent can't be using it. And that's the point where it's not fully aligned. I'm not even saying malicious. I'm just saying it might not be fully aligned because, one has the perspective, let's say, of the consumer in mind, and one has the perspective of the B2C business in mind. So, how do you deal with that? What is the protocol? How do you trust this system? What happens with negotiations? With our large language models today having been fine-tuned to be very polite and, always agreeable, is that really the kind of large language model reasoning we want in that kind of setting? Or does it take a different kind of large language model? I think to me that's a fascinating future state. We're not there right now, but it's an interesting area.
So we could end up in a world with agents talking to agents on our behalf.
Agents talking to agents. Also,
Like
I mean, we,
negotiating.
one other area where at the lab, we're doing some research is, how do you actually automatically create agents, like break agents into more than one agent, or have your agentic system kind of be alive in some ways. So that's also an interesting area, all kind of research right now.
Well, here's a question for you. So you've both been CEOs of companies. If you started a new company tomorrow, where would you deploy agents?
First of all, we're going to do one together.
Where
I want Adam on the record.
would you go first with your agents?
It's an interesting question. I'm not in the mode yet of thinking about what my next company would be,
Okay,
so you'll
neither
have
am
to
I.
wait. Sorry.
Neither am I. Keeping your
But
cards close to your chest.
it's I have certain views for sure about where I want the world to go. I want agents to help humans connect more. I want, because really that's what it's about, human connection, human belonging. That's one of the reasons I work at Airbnb, because I think this company actually cares about that. When I asked our CEO, Brian Chesky, what do you want to do with AI anyway? He didn't say, I want to use it to optimize sales of our business. He said, I want to connect people in the real world. And I'm like, that's powerful, right? Especially after COVID, and where we're digitalization and there's a lot of divide right now in our country and in the world, bringing people together. That's a powerful vision and statement. And so I guess what I would say is, in wherever I'm working, that's something I care about, and that I think is a good use of AI. Less transactional, more about humanity.
People. Yeah, exactly. I think I'm with Adam. For me, I think AI for good, and we do have an AI for good initiative. I'd like to spend whatever's left of my life actually helping humanity, using this very, very powerful tool, for sure.
Just finally, one question, and I ask this to all the guests, like, what's your one takeaway for enterprise leaders thinking about, agents and how they should go about, applying them or, adopting them? Or, is there something they should be doing differently? People going about it the right way?
The one thing that comes to my mind is that agents and this new word, agentification, is really an engineering discipline now. So I think we should start thinking about it that way versus a delegation of, oh, the AI is going to do everything. I think when we think about agentification, we should think this is engineered, this is designed, and we do have a fair amount of control over how we do that. And I think that should give enterprise leaders this kind of comfort that we can build systems that, yes, there's a delegation happening, there's some autonomy for sure as part of this, but what comes out of it is controlled and will be a huge net benefit. To their enterprises, and it depends on how you design it, how well you go about that engineering that will make or break the implementations. But I do think that's important, because Adam and I have been in this world forever. The biggest problem, I think, in the world of AI is expectations, and to think that this AI thing is going to come in and out of the box do everything and do everything right and be able to, predict the future and whatever else. And that's always been the downfall of AI implementation. So I think it's important to think of it as something we do have some control on.
Yeah, I would just say, every once in a while, there's a huge shift in the technology landscape. So the web was one of those. Whether you were an early adopter or a late adopter, everyone had to eventually get on board with the web and web interfaces, because that's what consumers, customers, employees, everyone was starting to go there. Mobile was clearly a second one. AI is, and agents and multi-agent systems and interfaces is still in the early days. It's like a 1994, 95 of the web. There are use cases today that have ROI. Not everything is there yet. The technology is still evolving. The models are getting smarter and cheaper. And at some point, they'll hit a place where even more things will be possible than there are today. Not everything, like you said, it's a tool. But it's clearly coming. You can see customer behavior is changing. Customer expectation is behaving. And even within enterprises, the way people work, whether it's using AI for coding or marketing or anything, it is changing. So I would just say it's important to experiment. It's important to start. Like, you need to be on top of this because this is not a fad that's going away.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, both of you. It's been a fascinating conversation. Adam and Buck, thank you very much.
Yeah,
Appreciate you being here.
thank you.
Very fun. Thank you.